So some thoughts about this parable, sometimes called the parable of the talents. One that you've probably heard many times before, thought about many times. But when I was thinking about this service a few weeks ago, I felt this passage come very strongly from God as to something we as a church and we as individuals need to think about. We've recently held in this church our Next Steps weekend, which we thought about our church, about where we are, what we're doing, and is it time to change anything? And this is following on from this. Our church is in an exciting stage. We're getting more people week by week. God is doing different things. He's bringing different people to us, which means that we have different gifts. Different gifts that God has given each one of us. And the challenge for us as individuals and for a church is to think how we can use these gifts. What benefit can they be to us as individuals? Most importantly, the church and to God. Remember what I said to the young people a bit earlier? If you just have a gift of a box of Lego and do absolutely nothing with it, it might as well have stayed on the shop shelf, mind it. But if you actually make something with it, it's useful. People can enjoy it. The grandchildren can come round and play with it. The bigger children can play with it. Little children can play with it. It's great fun. But I wonder, have you ever been given a gift from somebody in your family and you thought, I don't like that? Now, obviously, there wouldn't be any form of food, but it could be something else. They give you an ornament or something like that, and you think, that's absolutely horrible. Or it will be useful, but I've no idea where. Yeah? Anybody ever been in that situation? Yep. Yeah? Well, I have. Quite a few years ago when my first marriage broke up and I had managed to buy a house, my mum and dad, in their infinite wisdom, brought me a wonderful set of brass coat hooks that apparently are supposed to go on the wall. But when I went to pick them up, oh my goodness, they're a bit heavy. I reckon that if I did actually try and put them on the wall would come down. Because I'm no good with DIY. Mum and Dad obviously thought that was a wonderful idea, that I would have these nice coat hooks. And yes, to have coat hooks, if I did get people round when I tidied the house once a year, you know, it could be useful to have it, you know. But I thought, I don't want that. I've got no use for it. So I did the polite thing as a dutiful son. Thank you, Mum and Dad, very nice. Yes, I'll put it away and I'll put it up later. It went into the back of the cupboard and there it stayed, left under there. Each time Mum and Dad came and saw me after that, they never mentioned the coat hook. They never asked anything about it, which was just as well, because it was still nicely at the bottom of the... It was keeping the floor, that little bit of the floor, nice and clean it was. They never did ask anything about it. Were they upset that I didn't use it? They were polite enough not to say. When I moved out of that house, unfortunately, that coat hook just stayed there. I forgot about it. Wasn't very good, was it? Wasn't very nice of me. Wasn't kind to my parents either. But that's how I felt at that time, that it wasn't any good to me. That gift wasn't any good to me. But this passage we've looked at today, a parable, one of Jesus' teachings that he used everyday language to get people to think about the situation. We don't have too much information to go on about the actual background to this passage. We have a wealthy master, a householder. He's apparently going on a long journey. We don't know where he's heading. We don't know his name. We don't know how long he's going away for. But we do know he's wealthy because he can afford servants. And he obviously treated them well. And they respected him, they liked him, which wasn't always the case. Some wealthy people wouldn't have treated their servants so well. But this servant does. He respects them, and they obviously respect him. So as the master prepares to leave his estate, he gathers these three chosen servants together, informs them that he's going to go away for some time. And while I'm away, he says, I just want you to look after this for me. And he gives them some bags of gold. Five bags of gold to one, two to another, and one to another. Now, I wonder if the servants had ever seen a gold coin before, if they knew what it was worth. It was something different, wasn't it? I wonder what went through the servants' minds, or what would go through our minds if we suddenly ended up with a huge lot of money and you're told to look after it for somebody. What would go through your mind? The servants might have thought something like, wow, this could change my life forever. I could buy myself out of slavery. I could buy myself out of servants. I could go and buy a house, a big house. I can have people look after me, etc. I can change my family, change my family situation. I could have all the food I wanted. It would change my life forever. I could abandon everything and just go. Run off with the ones I love. That might have gone through their minds. We've absolutely no idea. That's just my thinking, so don't take that as true. That's just my thinking. But whatever goes through the servant's mind at that time, they stay loyal to their master. The master had assessed them. He knew them in his own mind. He had decided that these three people were trustworthy people, that he could look up, he could give them his fortune and say, look after it. Now this account, this parable, is only recorded in two Gospels. It's in Matthew and it's in Luke. In Matthew's Gospels, we don't get any instructions for the servants to what to do with the money. It just says, look after it. But if you look in Luke's Gospel, he says, look after the money and make it work for me. In other words, do something with it. So that when I return, there's going to be more. And the master goes away, looking at Matthew's Gospel. He goes away. He's away for some time. And in his mind, he's thinking, the servants will be brilliant. They'll be clever. They'll go and invest the money. They'll make it work for me. I'll have more money when I come back. And that's what two of the servants do, isn't it? We're told that they, whatever they do, however they do it, they manage to double the amount of money. So from five bags, you get 10 bags, two bags, you get four bags. That's my maths. I hope that's right. But the third servant, he's a little bit more cautious. Because he thinks, what happens if it goes wrong? What happens if the money doesn't increase? What happens if we lose the money? I don't want to be in that situation. What shall I do? I know, I'll dig a hole. And I'll put the money in it, I'll mark the spot. Nobody else will know where it is, only me. And then it will be safe for when the master comes back. He didn't even trust the banks. And when the master comes back, the servants are called in to him. And of course he's delighted with the two servants, the master, because they've used the gifts. They've used that money, they've invested it, they've doubled the money. He's very disappointed with the servant that had the money, put it in the ground. He's rather proud, I think, the servant, when he comes back. He says, there you are, look, it's all safe and sound. There you are, exactly as you gave it to me. No problem. But that's not what the master wanted. We've heard this parable before. We thought about it many times, I'm sure. You've heard many sermons and talks about it. But I find, as I look at these passages, I often get new insight. I read different commentaries, different books about the Bibles. And one I was reading on Matthew's Gospel by a gentleman called Ivor Jones, he suggested that the similarities to this passage could be with a harvest. And you go back to the book of Deuteronomy. And if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 to 17, you'll see what Moses wrote about the harvest and how the Israelites there were given instructions of how to celebrate God's gifts. In this case, they were talking about the Feast of the Tabernacles. That could take us into another sermon, but don't worry, we shan't go there today. But they were instructed how to present themselves to God at that time, because the temple wasn't built. But in verse 16 in Deuteronomy chapter 16, it says, "No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed." And then he goes on to say, "Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you." Each of us has gifts. If you think about harvest, the farmers are working very hard at this time of year, particularly. They always work hard throughout the year. But they're working hard to gather in the harvest. They've worked hard over the last few months, looking after the seeds, cultivating them, and they've been growing, and now they gather them in. In Deuteronomy, we're told to gather together to celebrate those gifts. And we today in the Western world tend to celebrate these at a time called harvest, in the harvest festival services, and we will have ours here in the end of September. Using gifts are important. If we don't use gifts, they go rusty. Now, as probably some of you are aware, as well as Lego, I like railways. And we have railway in our garden. And I found a very useful piece of track this morning in our garden. It's obviously been very well used. Do you think that would be much good for running trains on? If it was connected up to lots more, would it be any good for running trains? Yeah? Well, it'd be that size, it's G-scale, so. But yeah, a rusty bit of track like that, it's not particularly good, because the electricity for the drive of the engine is supposed to go through the track. Ah, now it's clicking in a bit, isn't it? So it won't make contact, I won't be able to drive the train so well. So really, if that was just left like that, down, put it right way up, down there, that's no good. It's a lovely bit of track. Somebody's manufactured it. We pay for it. Lovely bit of track. But like that, it's no good. But if we take in the effort to try and clean the track up, that's slightly better. And that, when connected to my layout, will work. And that will run trains with a bit of luck. But that's it. But thinking about the gifts, this is what all this parable is about, isn't it? The gifts. God has given each one of us many, many gifts. And as we go through life, we use them. Sometimes we stop using them and we get other ones. So I want us to spend a few moments thinking about some gifts that we have from God. I'm going to give you out each a little parcel. It's an open parcel. I'd like you to write on this piece of paper one gift that you're using for God now. And then what we're going to do is we're going to put them in the basket here. I'll bring the basket round. And you can we'll collect those in and we're asked for God's blessing on these gifts so they don't go rusty. Okay? So a bit of activity for you. Can you help me out again, please? Can you pass them out? Everyone to have some? Yes. You knew that was coming, didn't you? That's lovely. Thank you very much. Make sure everyone gets them. Younger people, if you can't think of a gift, you can just draw, colour them in nicely if you want to. Yeah, we all. Okay, use your pencils on your tables. Put something, one of the gifts that God has given you. Okay, so this is between you and God, and we'll collect them all in, if you can think of something. Thank you, we'll put them all in. Thank you, sir. Take them all round, and we'll just bring them up here, and then I'm just going to say a short little blessing of a prayer on them for all these wonderful gifts. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all these wonderful gifts, all these wonderful people gathered here this morning have. We thank you, Lord, that we can use these for your glory. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to use these gifts and many others in each one of us for your glory here in this place. Bless all these gifts, Lord, for we ask this in your name. Amen. So what are we taking from this today? If we have a gift from God and we decide that we're too scared to use it, it goes rusty. It's of no use. It's like having a piece of track for my layout. A nice box of Lego that I never open. Nice to look at on the outside, but they're not any good for God. God doesn't want us to do this. He's given us gifts because he knows each one of us inside out. He doesn't look at our outsides. He knows what we're like on the inside. He knows what we're capable of. He knows we're better than just sitting in a box or being a bit of rusty track. If we use the gifts that God has given us, we can go into a useful piece of railway track, a useful box of Lego, into a model that people can enjoy. If we use the gifts that God has given us, God will bless us, which means that we grow as an individual, regrow as a church. God's presence grows in this community, in this world, in the place that he has put us. It's time for change in this church. It's time for change in our own lives. It's time for us to reassess our gifts. We've put some gifts in front of God here. As you leave the church today, I'm going to give you another box, another piece of paper. And I'll challenge you this week to think about all the gifts that God has given you. The ones that you're using at the moment, the ones that you're scared to use, the ones you think you're not sure about. I want you to think about this during the week. Try and spend a few moments in peace and quiet with God. And think about the gifts that God has given each one of us. Is it time for us as individuals to start using a new gift? We've said before that this church is changing. The number of people attending are changing. The needs of this church and this community are changing. We have new gifts. We need to use them. So what I invite you to do is to take one of those pieces of paper. I'll bring them around afterwards at the end of the service. Take it away with you. Next week, bring it back. But this time, put on there one or two gifts that you feel it's time for you to use in this church community. And so that we know who it is, you need to put your name on it. Okay? Because then we want to collate those together and see what God wants to do with us in this church. We've got to think outside of where we're at. Is God calling us to do new things? God is changing this church. God is changing us as individuals. It's exciting and scary. But let us trust in God so that he can use us for his glory here at Stanground Baptist Church and wherever else he places us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have brought us to this place at this time. We thank you that you've brought us to this church. We thank you that we can be part of this church. And we ask, Lord, that you will use us, use the gifts you have given us, so that we continue to praise and glorify your name, that we continue to share your love in this community, that we continue to make a difference. And we ask this in your name. Amen.